First is the international petroleum industry. And I use this term international petroleum industry advisedly because the petroleum industry is an international force which transcends national political boundaries in its scope and its influence and so on. And also the increased element of foreign investment, primarily from Japan, in our economic development. Both of these cannot help but have an impact upon the functioning of our political system and the social development and other development of our state. And this has got to be recognized. We've got to recognize the nature of the private interests that are arrayed here. I won't say arrayed against us, but are arrayed at a bargaining table with us. We've got to recognize what motivates them and what they're after. And we've also got to recognize what and reevaluate constantly what constitutes the public interest with which we as a political and social entity are concerned with. In order to do this, of course, we have to have a great deal of information, a great deal of data, and rather wide-flung intelligence that reaches into all these various camps to report to us what is going on, the changes that are taking place, and so on. All of this, of course, adds up to the need for much, much more than we've been able to do. Now, the Institute is, of course, concerned in all these areas. There's not only a need for more for research, but there's a need for us to align ourselves effectively with other organizations that are carrying on research. We're doing that right now, as Vic just pointed out, by the provision of advice to federal state agencies and the provision of professional staff to these agencies. Our research will be constantly tailored to fill in the areas that are not being covered by policy-oriented research effort. And this is the area in which, of course, the university plays a unique role. And finally, getting back to education again, we are concerned with research as education. To drop back to my first year with the Institute, or with it as the Institute, I should say, it was a teaching year. I spent the year on campus, not only attempting to teach some of the basic econ courses, but attempting to set up two courses in economic development. Unfortunately, these courses have, I think, disappeared without a trace because of the turnover of faculty. But nonetheless, I think it should be emphasized that the Institute grew out of teaching and education. And the process I went through in that year influenced me and influenced the ultimate evolution of the Institute along these lines. We look upon our output, as Vic said, as primarily a teaching input, and this is the way it has been used. Ironically, it has been used more outside Alaska than within Alaska. We intend to correct this trend. But the Institute has a concern in the future. It has a role to play in the future, which I think is tremendously important to Alaska. And it's one that we are, of course, will carry out to the extent of our ability. Now, Vic, I think you want to say a few concluding words to pick up the pieces I dropped.
Well, I'm afraid we both came up with such an ambitious outline of presentation that we should have had the 2 hours that I initially asked for our Regents' presentation. I just want to emphasize in the last couple of minutes some future-oriented thoughts. As you may have noticed on the chart that we had projected before, and each of you has a copy of it, we have seen a leveling off of grants to the Institute. This is in part a reflection of staff capability, but also a reflection of the interest of, you might say, the outside research sponsoring agencies in internal Alaska research. As has been brought up time and again, and as Dr. Rogers just set forth, we have a very major orientation toward Alaska policy, Alaska problems, information for internal development of Alaska. And there simply isn't of that much interest to anyone. If anything, the financial sources for social science research are increasing all the time. And we could, if we wanted to, if we just wanted to have a continuing growth like that in grant funds from outside the state, we could very easily manage that. It would be totally unrelated to, or very largely unrelated to Alaska, and largely unrelated to what we consider the essential mission of the Institute in these areas. So that what I want to leave here and emphasize is that if we are going to continue the kind of programs that we have started, that we have had support from the Ford Foundation, limited support from the state, there will have to be, the growth will have to come at this point here. At the cross-hatching, which means the state support, because essentially what we're doing is we're dealing with the state of Alaska and the people of the state. And in conjunction with that, of course, everything else can grow. An important ingredient in this, here I pick up a few of the points that were made yesterday, but also maybe going a little bit beyond further. We see tremendously important the structuring of a whole internal planning, programming, and budgeting process of the university to reflect what is needed to reflect priorities a lot more effectively than we have been able to achieve so far. We cannot go ahead where no one is really concerned with programs, where no one really has before paid any attention, I hope now you will, with what the Institute is doing, what the objectives are, what the programs are, and allocate in the budget one-third of a position of an economist to deal with Alaska-Japan economic relations, one-third of a person to deal with environmental problems, one-third of a person in something else, giving, in effect, a request to the state of one additional person for the Institute. There's no reflection there of program priorities and program needs. I emphasize again the importance of the kinds of relationships that we discussed earlier between intra-university for more effectively managing the resources. We've worked with many of the people here and many others outside of this room in trying to utilize the resources of the other research institutions as well as the teaching faculty as an input to social science research. We consider the relationship between what we're doing and what others are doing extremely important, because when we talk of environmental policy studies, we're not planning to duplicate what is happening in any of the other institutes or in college research. We need their input as a resource for our research. And again, this requires much more of a program and interdisciplinary orientation within the university itself. And lastly, I want to emphasize that if the university is to respond effectively to the kind of future that George Rogers was pointing out, both in words and on the graphs, that the university will have to gear itself up in its not just a research component, but also in the educational components to providing the kind of people that we will need within the university and within the state to effectively work in behalf of the state and the people. And what I'm specifically talking about is graduate education. We have no doctoral programs in the social sciences. We have a minimum of master's programs, and not very good ones at that, in the social sciences. And this is where your tremendous need will come in the future. And this is something, again, can only evolve out of a program and mission-oriented analysis of what the university is and where it's going and how it relates to Alaska as a whole. I hope that in this brief but too long presentation we've given you some point of departure. Unfortunately, there isn't enough time for us to go on and engage in a direct repartee. Peter is in the edge of his seat, so I'll turn it back to him.
Thank you, George. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the formal agenda, but it will be
Cavalier, not to mention three other elements of the university, of whom you've heard about titles, that play a very vital part in the overall research program. First and foremost of these, of course, is the Naval Arctic Research Lab, which you are all familiar with, and you know the university administers their funds and takes good advantage of the facilities, as I had John Ford and Chuck Welty mentioned in their presentations. And the reason that we didn't have a formal presentation from Max Brewer is that I understand the reading of the Board of Regents at Barrow is rooted in that you will have a full opportunity to see the activities there firsthand. Another unit, of course, which has often been discussed in board meetings, is a computer center. And I remember hearing the report that we had a very successful year in the computer center, and there's no question that our income now exceeds our expenditures, and we are now in a position, I think, to enhance the capacity and the services of the computer center, which hopefully will clear up some of the conflicting minor administrative difficulties we have due to the conflicts between administrative data processing, teaching, and research. And finally, of course, very vital, and by no means least, is the museum. And here again, I'm very happy to report that through initiative of Lewinsky, the university just received a substantial grant from the Endowment for the Humanities. I suspect one of the largest grants they've ever given, in view of the fact that their total national disbursement in this year will be not more than half the total cash flow of research this of the university. $90,000 has been given to the museum to attempt to document with material possessions and research the present state of the acculturation of the native populations in this very critical transitional period. The government proposal, which was put before the endowment, and he will bring to the campus a number of experts to work with him on this. So, I think Dr. Wood told me we have room for three, so we still have 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're very privileged today to have with us. Some friends of agriculture, practicing farmers, who I think would like to add a few more pounds of steam to the unpressured presentation that during the earlier. And am I correct that Mr. Paul Hubert wishes to speak initially to the regions on this subject? Very soon, the conversation will end. Yes. Well, now,
are there any other questions?
Yes. Any questions on either on the presentation or any areas that the regents would wish to raise over general set policies on the campus?
I would like to seems to me in the different departments that are presenting their research projects, we have 3 or 4 of all working on this pipeline. I wonder what type of coordination between the different departments.
The coordination is loose, and I think again, this is almost a capital policy that the questions being asked by CAPS do require different expertise to answer. The only real coordination here is the fact that, of course, we have a single agreement, master agreement, with the Trans-Alaskan Pipeline System, in which all work we do for them under contract is under a single agreement. So there is a degree of coordination nowhere else in my office. But whereas some of this work is strictly biological and ecological, some is hard engineering, some is strictly oceanographic. And so it is almost inevitable that the four sources of the university in the various centers where we apply the problem we make.
The next subject I'd like to bring up is the matter of basic research on foreign colleges, first of all, in the Fairbanks area. And as I drove up the highway,
there is a section you have in common with the university, and I possibly check up and do I want this degree of two projects we have.
Some basic research done on high school. We've done a little bit of work, like setting precipitating ice fog, and we have an intention to be on the field of the airport on this project. With regard to power plant, I have any distinction here with regard to design things, you know, simply made the stack power or shot it up there at a higher velocity.
And
Moscow.
Thank you.
years ago, having an annual period set aside for review of the component that the university this year has to be researched, major, the public service, the year after the instruction. These are all injuries needed. Of course, as in your presentation here, it's impossible to talk about research without getting COVID, talking about instruction. It's impossible to talk about instruction without getting into scholarly studies and the development of knowledge and its application. And I think it's impossible to talk about either the instruction or the research without getting COVID. So how are you going to make use of this with the people that they comprise the last? So we go on a path that is with emphasis each year on one of the three prongs of our effort here at the University of Nebraska. But it's impossible to separate them other than this is the topic of major emphasis this year. Next year will be another one, the following year it will be the third. So next year it will be on public service. Vice President, as well, year following basically the instructional program of all levels of the full secretary, continuing adult education through the PhD, and then we get back again to research here 3 years. It was 4 years that you had left.
Well, Dan, I'm wrong here, but the question of projections we've seen, and the projections which I'm sure that have come, and the big problems. Research directors and the colors that will meet these projections will take at least a week to be able to find this to make a presentation.
But we are open to the public, and the board is right on the legislators, but they're open to the public, and I can see these annual review sessions not only getting longer, but getting a great many more people in the audience at this point.
But Dr. Ray, on behalf of the Board of Regents, I want to thank all of those who have participated today on being invited to this. A lot of time is necessary to prepare this paper. We do appreciate it. The main media by which the Board of Regents can really begin to learn a little bit more about what is going on in the university. And this will turn all these things by over the support in the next 4 days and answering and solving problems and going to solve them. Now we have to do the research that we did. And each year we have a rotation process. As Dr. Wood said, we hope to be gradually better to identify the public in the register. Thank you all.
Governor, state of the state message.
This is the reporting time for the House chambers at the Capitol building here in June. The governor has just been introduced as he is entering the chambers now, being escorted by Senate Ralph Manchin and Representative Charles Sutera. He was the governor of the last year's move on the aisle, now approaching the Speaker's stand. The shake hands of Senate President Brad Phillips and Speaker John Sutera.
On behalf of the Speaker of the House and the Senate, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce the Governor of the State of Alaska, the Honorable Keith H. Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, members of the 6th Alaska Legislature, my fellow Alaskans. Once again, it is my duty and privilege to address you as the 6th Alaska Legislature meets for its second session in our capital city. We meet here this week in the most historic legislative session in Alaska's history. It is historic because we are not here to continue the past. We have come to set our course for the future. Likewise, I have not come here today to pay tribute to past accomplishments. We have little time to indulge ourselves in nostalgia. I have come here to rededicate this administration to the tasks of governing Alaska in the challenging 70s. If we are to be truly responsive to the needs of Alaskans, we must recognize that those needs lie far beyond the scope of any single party. We are all Alaskans. Let us work together in a spirit of cooperation. Future generations of Alaskans must be able to look back upon this moment of beginning in admiration, not in frustration or anger. Our foundation for the future must be a firm one. The program I shall preview for you here this morning will lay the foundation that I believe is best for the future of our state. It is a program that has evolved after months of careful consultation and sifting of expert advice. Those months of work have culminated in a program of which all Alaskans can be proud. Keeping my pledge to strive for the development of our human resources, I will continue to stress the vital importance of education. I will recommend legislation to set up an equalized plan of financing schools. Recognizing that economic conditions vary from district to district, my legislation will use a new concept. We will determine the state's overall educational need and apply 90% state funding to help meet that need. The education of our children is vitally important, and the state is prepared to accept its full share of Alaska's educational responsibility. In line with this philosophy, the state last year assumed the responsibility for the operation of 4 Bureau of Indian Affairs schools, and this year we will take over 17 more. For the teachers who work in all state-operated schools, there will be a significant salary increase. In the coming year, the state-operated schools will also have 70 Alaska Native teacher aides who are now being trained for their duties. The Commission on Cross-Cultural Education and the Department of Education will continue their efforts for the development of culturally relevant material for our schools. An Alaska history source book is being printed. For our students in rural schools, we are instituting a hot lunch program on a statewide basis. Additional rural schools will be built and others remodeled next year. I shall propose funding to provide for a significant number of school construction projects around the state. I will also provide state funds to aid local school districts meet their ever-increasing needs. This is a program designed to ease the growing strain on taxpayers who each year have been paying more taxes to help educate their children. We must help them meet the spiraling costs of education. Vital to higher education in our state is the University of Alaska at College. We will greatly expand the facilities at the main campus and provide funds for the continued development of the all-important community college programs in Anchorage, Kenai, Juneau, Ketchikan, and the Matanuska-Sioux Borough. Giving our young people the tools with which to earn a living and lead more productive lives is the goal of our vocational education program, and it will be broadly expanded this year. Looking toward the day when one teacher in one classroom can reach hundreds of students by television, I will ask you to approve an Alaska Educational Broadcasting Commission with a staff to plan and implement a comprehensive educational television system throughout our state. We plan to institute an archival program as part of the state library to properly maintain public records and faithfully record the history of Alaska as it happens. It is important that we take steps now to record this enriching period in Alaska's history and properly catalog it so it can be of use to students and historians. In transportation, a field essential to all Alaskans, I have asked for a study to determine the feasibility of building a canoe arm crossing near Anchorage, and we are proceeding with a look into the possibility of using hovercraft to cross Turnagain Arm until a permanent crossing can be built. To expand the state's ability to effectively use its transportation revenues for transportation purposes, I shall propose that the Toll Bridge Authority be changed to the Toll Road Authority so that the toll revenue can be used for the construction of roads rather than just for building bridges and approachways. Recognizing the impact that increased transportation facilities will have on all aspects of life in Alaska, my administration will propose a massive expansion of our ferry system, a program for orderly highway construction and development, and extensive upgrading and construction of our airports. Economic development has in the past and will continue to play a large role in the promotion of Alaska. The establishment of a Japanese consulate, which we have sought for several years, and resident offices of major Japanese firms in Alaska will present opportunities for rapid expansion of two-way commerce with the Pacific Rim countries. Over the past year, our ties with Canada have been strengthened immeasurably with a number of discussions about mutual affairs. We are becoming active neighbors. Talks on paving the Alaska Highway, the road to Carcross, air routes through Canada, petroleum development, and Arctic research are high on our list of discussion topics. We are opening the way for scientific and cultural exchanges that will further enable Alaska to assume a leadership role among the nations of the Pacific Rim. Closer to home, one of my economic development measures will allow for the use of a previously wasted resource. A log salvage law, which I will introduce, will allow full utilization of the forest resource, provide jobs and income, and aid in protecting shipping. As we step boldly into the 70s, we must realize that increasing crime poses a threat to our people and our institutions that is not of the future. It is a clear and present danger, and one we must meet with all the skills that we can summon. I am requesting that 50 uniformed state troopers be added to the Department of Public Safety to provide greater protection for our citizens. I am also asking for additional personnel for the troopers and more probation officers. The opening of trooper outposts during the past year, along with several new ones this year, and strengthening the force throughout the remote rural areas is at last bringing justice and protection to those people in the remote areas. The Division of Corrections and the Department of Health and Welfare has expanded its probation services, and I will propose construction of a new regional correctional facility in Anchorage and improvements at the facility in Fairbanks and the McLaughlin Youth Center in Anchorage. At the present time, there is a state law which makes it possible for convicted murderers to go free pending appeal of their cases. I will ask that you approve legislation to prohibit this practice. I will strengthen the special narcotic squad that I created last year to combat the problem of narcotic and dangerous drug traffic and use. Increasing caseloads in the Division of Public Welfare has been a matter of continuing concern to me. It is significant to note, however, that even though the caseload rate for Alaska has been rising, it has not risen as sharply as the national average. The opportunities for serving the disadvantaged of Alaska presents a dramatic challenge to this legislature. The state will continue the work incentive program with its related child daycare and transportation provisions. I recommend, however, that child daycare assistance be expanded to include those not referred through the work incentive program. The state cannot ignore its responsibilities for support of child care and nursing home services. Accordingly, I support legislation previously introduced as House Bill 251, subject to amendments which provide for the inclusion of foster parent homes, a provision where the state would establish and regulate the full cost of services and the continued conduct of rate hearings throughout the state to determine what is fair and equitable for child and nursing home care. In our family assistance program, we have been extending the food stamp program to those areas in the state not previously covered with those services. To assure the very best in health care for all our people, I am proposing increased hospital construction and the building of medical and mental health centers around the state. In addition to the new Pioneers Home in Palmer, I propose construction of the Pioneers Home in Anchorage and a remodeling project for the home in Sitka. We have developed a meaningful program for the treatment of alcoholism and the rehabilitation of persons suffering from its influence. I will introduce legislation to make it possible for the alcoholic to be treated as an ill person, not as a criminal. My bill will stipulate that a person convicted of being drunk in public shall not serve a sentence longer than 5 days, provided there was no other criminal activity involved in the conviction, and that he will receive medical help and rehabilitation services. The most basic of our health and welfare concerns is the need for adequate housing in Alaska's rural areas. I propose that the state, for the first time, participate in the remote housing program in order to accelerate the construction that already has begun. As we concern ourselves with the health, the well-being, and the economic progress of our people, it is important that we also concern ourselves with our great natural resources, air, land, water, in fact, our total physical environment. I pledge total effort on the part of this administration to ensure a proper balance between development and our unspoiled natural environment. To begin with, I have created a Division of Environmental Health in the Department of Health and Welfare, and I mean for it to operate effectively. In a concept that combines environmental concern with revenue sharing, I will introduce legislation to make water and sewer grants available to municipalities for up to 25% of the cost of constructing community water and sewer facilities. This legislation, if implemented, will make it possible for cities and boroughs to receive increased federal funds to help them build sewage treatment plants. The federal share would increase from 30 to 50 or 55%. I ask that you make the measure retroactive to July 1967 so that sewage programs that began at that time can benefit from this measure. I will propose legislation to provide tax incentives to those industries that establish specific anti-air and water pollution devices, the cost of which would be exempted from all property taxes. In addition, I will propose an environmental coordinator in the Office of the Governor, whose duty will be coordinating the already existing efforts of the Departments of Health and Welfare, Natural Resources, and Fish and Game. It has been said many times that Alaska has the unique opportunity to avoid the environmental errors that have been made in other states, and it has been said that Alaska has the potential for becoming a laboratory for the world, a place where old problems can be solved with new technology. How is this to be done? I ask you to join me in calling upon President Nixon and the Congress of the United States to establish in Alaska a National Institute of Environmental Sciences where this nation's top scientists could initiate research into the environmental effects of development, pollution prevention, and land management practices. I envision a modern complex, perhaps eventually a $500 million complex, situated somewhere here at the top of the world, where we have the vast natural laboratory that is necessary to develop new techniques for the protection of the environment of all countries of the world. Because of its location, this institute could become a center that would attract the top minds from every nation concerned about keeping this planet habitable. I will propose the appointment of a Blue Ribbon panel of Alaskans whose duties will be to gather the data necessary to present our case for such an institute before Congress and the White House. I can see the time when environmental courses can originate in this Alaska Center and be beamed by satellite to nearly every major university in the world. Please join me in letting the President and Congress know that we will do everything in our power to see that such an institute becomes reality in the only state where it is really feasible. We must translate our words into action, and the time is now. There are a number of actions I feel must be taken to properly protect the environment, and at the same time make it increasingly possible for Alaskans to enjoy the country that they love so much. Recognizing the growing need for expansion of our state parks and recreation facilities, I propose the establishment of the 300,000-acre Denali State Park, a state-operated facility accessible by rail and highway with provisions for lodging and recreation. The park, which offers the best vantage of Mount McKinley, will complement Mount McKinley National Park. I will also seek funding to provide for numerous park expansion projects. Programming and planning for multiple-use development of the Wood River Tikchik Lakes country of the Nishigack River Basin will be accelerated with emphasis on the scenic and recreational aspects of the area. In addition, I shall request approval of a program to provide drinking water in all major state-operated recreational areas, and to begin as soon as weather permits the construction of camper facilities at Chilkoot Lake to relieve congestion at the Haines terminus of the Alaska Marine Highway. I will ask you to approve a package of proposals to strengthen the authority of the Division of Oil and Gas in dealing with producers and to increase protection of the state's conservation interests in this field. As a major legislative proposal, I shall seek enactment of a common carrier and common purchaser statute to provide all lessees with equal opportunity to sell and transport oil or gas produced from their lease. Such legislation, simply stated, will mean that each individual, including the small leaseholder, who has any share in the oil production of Alaska, has just as much right to transport his oil in a pipeline as do the people who own that pipeline. The owners of the pipeline would not be able to discriminate against a producer just because he doesn't own a portion of the pipeline. Petroleum development has provided us with the impetus needed to stimulate all segments of our economy. The need for a statewide inventory of Alaska's mineral potential to stimulate renewed interest in hard rock mining as well as assist in prudent land selection necessitates my proposal for a large-scale aeromagnetic and gravity survey of key potential areas. Mining opened up this country, and we must aid the industry so it can once again be a vigorous economic factor in our development. Uncertainties attendant to dry land farming make it mandatory that we embark on the first phase of large-scale irrigation projects assisted by state funds. We will seek a capital improvement project for a comprehensive study of the feasibility and means to irrigate the farmlands of the Matanuska and Tanana Valleys. Because of our growing fisheries and the specialized nature of regulation requirements, I am proposing to divide the existing Fish and Game Board into two separate boards. I will submit legislation for the creation of a commercial and sport fishing board and a game board. To best meet the needs of the people we serve, it is necessary for some other government reorganization in order to streamline operations and make them responsive to contemporary techniques. I propose the establishment of an Alaska State Office in Washington, D.C. to provide for closer liaison between federal offices and the office of the governor. We must be represented with a staff in the nation's capital, for so many crucial decisions affecting Alaska are made, not only by Congress, but also by a multitude of federal agencies. I will introduce legislation to clearly define the role of the Planning and Research Division and establish it as the planning agency for the state. While each department is engaged in planning for its operations, it is essential that the various plans and programs be coordinated in the governor's office. The legislation that I will propose will also place the budgeting process in the Division of Planning and Research. The budget process logically belongs in the division that coordinates all of the planning for the administration. Additionally, I will ask your approval of an Executive Budget Act, which would implement a system of budgeting that would permit state planning over a period of years with expenditures geared over a longer time span instead of on a year-to-year basis, as is now the case. No statewide planning effort can be complete without the participation of our cities and boroughs. By strengthening the ties between planning and research and the local affairs agency, which also is in the governor's office, we will have an effective planning capability to work closely with municipalities. Our strong revenue sharing program will be more meaningful if there is a continuing dialogue between the state and the municipalities. During the coming year, we will continue our talks with mayors and borough chairmen to work out an urban development policy that will enable us to avoid in the future the crises that grip so many of this nation's urban centers today. There are several areas of state taxation in which I propose major reforms. I will ask for an amendment to the state income tax law to provide that individuals who earn less than $3,000 a year be exempt from paying tax on their income. In another amendment, I will ask you to increase the personal exemption from $600 to $800. I propose that the gross business license tax be phased out, with the first decrease going into effect this year. I urge you to take prompt action on the bill introduced last year to repeal the $10 head tax for school purposes. This measure will be retroactive to January 1 of this year. Also, I ask you to repeal the inheritance and transfer tax and the antiquated mining license tax. Because of the healthy condition of the Employment Security Fund, legislation will be introduced to repeal the employee contribution to the Unemployment Compensation Fund. This will mean that every Alaskan worker will have more take-home pay. At the same time, we will reduce the employer's contribution by 10%. Unemployment compensation provides assistance for an interim period to those who are not able to get a job. Another important area is workman's compensation, which provides assistance to workers who have been injured on the job. In this important area of concern, I will introduce legislation to increase the amount of weekly compensation for temporary total disability or permanent partial disability. In addition, I will ask for a percentage change in the statute that will maintain the second injury fund at an adequate level. Hand in hand with the need for these measures is the need for protecting the rights of Alaskan consumers. In this regard, I propose legislation to protect against consumer fraud, and I will appoint an Alaskan housewife as my consumer advisor. She will have the authority of the governor's office, and part of her responsibility will be to coordinate the activities in other departments on behalf of consumer protection. I would be remiss if I did not state clearly at this time my position on the native land claims. I have set forth much that deals with expansion of health, welfare, education, housing, public safety, and public works projects in the rural areas. I propose these expansions because it is our duty to develop and expand our rural areas. The question which now lies before Congress is not a welfare or development question for Native peoples. The question is instead, what compensation should be paid to Alaska's natives for lands taken by the federal government? This question is a determination which must be made by Congress. The responsibility for education, housing, health, welfare, public safety, and capital improvements in the rural areas clearly belongs to the state of Alaska by our own Constitution. The responsibility for settlement of the native land claims clearly rests with Congress. The proposals I have put forth to Congress will provide a generous settlement for our natives. It will ensure that each native will own the land he needs, the land he lives on, plus adequate land for his village to expand. It will supply a generous amount of cash, $500 million. My proposal is in parallel with President Nixon's administration, as expressed by Secretary Hickel. I believe it is fair to natives and non-natives alike. Because of its importance to all Alaskans, I strongly urge you to express your position at the earliest possible date. With Congress convening next week, your early attention is important. My fellow Alaskans, you have just heard some of my philosophy and a brief outline of my program to establish a firm foundation for Alaska's future. Tomorrow, in my budget and fiscal affairs message, I will address myself not only to the budget for the coming year, but also to the important investment and fiscal policies that have been developed to provide lasting benefits to all Alaskans from the revenues of our natural resources. As we pause here between the past and the future, let us work together to do not only what is necessary, but also that which is right. We have come here to rendezvous with history. What we do here will not soon be forgotten. May God grant us the wisdom and the humility to lead the people we serve. Thank you very much.
The governor went up and shook hands with the Speaker, Senate President Brad Phillips, and Representative John Petula. He is now leaving the hall, shaking hands with various representatives and senators as he goes and exits the House chambers. Everyone in the chambers now standing. As you heard, the joint session is now adjourned. The House will stay probably here in the chambers, and the Senate will be leaving. The commissioners of all the departments also are here, and the galleries were full at the time of the speech. The State of the State speech, the governor stressed education, also the proposals for the expansion of the ferry system, highways, and airports. One of the more surprising items that he brought out was the National Institute for Environmental Sciences that he would be requesting of Washington, hoping to get a $500 million complex in the state of Alaska for control of the environment as a basic research center. His native land claims position, again, was the same as he has stressed before. He talked about his proposals for taxes, amending state income tax to the fact that less than $3,000 earned no tax exemption of the personal tax from $600 to $800, repeal of the $10 head tax and various other tax items. The governor, as we said, has just presented his State of the State message tomorrow at 11 a.m. before a joint session of the 6th legislature. He will be presenting his budget message on Friday. U.S. Senator Ted Stevens will be addressing at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time the joint session. This is Lance Junkers reporting for the Midnight Sun from the Capitol here in Juneau, and we hope you'll be joining us tomorrow. The House will now go back into session.
This has been a public service presentation of KFRV and the Alaska Broadcasting System. Attention, live and direct from Juneau.
The House and the Senate are in joint session right now. They've just called a recess while Senators Vance Phillips and Representative Bill Boardman go to the governor's office to escort the governor to the chambers. We're, of course, awaiting the arrival of Governor Keith Miller to present his budget message for fiscal 1971 to the joint session of the Alaska Legislature. The questions that need to be answered, of course, is the governor's proposals for the $900 million which we received from the September oil lease sale. Following today's budget address, we are expecting Representative Bill Ray and Senator Vance Phillips, who are the respective chairman of the Senate and House Finance Committees, to join us for a discussion of today's budget address. However, there will be a brief pause during which the Senate will be adjourned from the joint session to reconvene in the Senate chambers. The House will then be called back into session and then is expected to adjourn for the day. Following the brief session, we will be joined, as we said, by Senator Phillips and Representative Bill Ray. As stated, Representative Bill Boardman and Senator Vance Phillips are now on the way to the governor's office to escort Governor Keith Miller to the chambers. An interesting note in this morning's brief House session, Representative Gene Guest of Anchorage these people were appointed by Speaker Petula. He appointed Chairman McRae, Kay, and Sweet to go to Anchorage this weekend to take testimony on the fire at the Rush Motel. That to determine if legislation to be needed in the area. Apparently, there's funding reports of problems between the city and the borough and the fire department as a result of that hotel fire. So, for the Anchorage area residents, of interest will be that there will be a representative committee coming from the House here in general to Anchorage to take testimony on the fire, and it will be chaired by Representative McVeigh, and the other two members will be Representative Kay and Representative Steve. As we say, we are in a brief recess here in the House chambers this morning, awaiting the arrival of Governor Keith Miller for his budget address. And then immediately following this, we will have Senator Vance Phillips and Representative Bill Ray of the Finance Committee with the House and Senate to discuss the budget.
The House will come to order.
The governor is now making his way down the center aisle here in the House. He's been escorted by Mr. Boardman and Mr. Phillips. He's now approaching the podium. And shaking hands with Speaker John Phillips and Speaker Cartoon. And now he's budget address by Governor Keith H. Miller.
It gives me a great deal of pleasure this morning to introduce once again the Chief Executive Officer, the Honorable Keith H. Miller, Governor of the State of Alaska. Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, members of the 6th Alaska Legislature, my fellow Alaskans. I'm sure that most of you heard the announcement this morning by Secretary Hickel that the pipeline will indeed be built. A subsequent phone call to us this morning from the management of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Systems informed us that they have given the order to mobilize for construction. I wanted to share this latest information with you. Today it was my privilege to outline for you the program that I envision as a firm foundation for Alaska's future. Today you will receive the budget that goes with my program. Before I preview the budget for you, I feel it is necessary that we discuss the fiscal situation that makes this particular session of the legislature so unique. A broad, responsible program demands sound fiscal policies and a reasonable approach to our annual budget coupled with intelligent estimates of revenues. This key point applies even more to estimated future revenues, for it is the future revenue estimates that largely govern the size of this year's budget. An important point to mention here is that government spending tends to increase from year to year. In addition to demands for increasing state services, inflation also takes its toll.
Consequently, we must not make the mistake of setting our foundation for the 70s at a level which will become a financial burden in a few years. In other words, there is a reasonable limit beyond which a prudent man should not go in spending, regardless of how desirable the expenditure might be. We have addressed our budget deliberations to that concept for 1971. Following last September's oil and gas lease sale, in which the state received $900 million in lease money, my administration heard the voices of Alaskans and others who indicated that on the one hand, we should preserve the principle of the bonus money and spend only the interest. On the other hand, we heard that perhaps we should spend some of the principal on vitally needed projects because inflation will erode the principal we were trying to protect. While some were suggesting that we be cautious, others were urging that we move rapidly in all areas of state government activities. After extensive deliberations, we arrived at a fiscal plan that I believe is a progressive, responsible approach that balances the many considerations that were advanced. Knowing full well that our efforts to perpetuate and protect the Alaskan way of life for decades would depend on the outcome of our decisions, we gave much thought to the preparation of this year's budget. I am proposing a general fund expenditure coupled with bond proposals and federal funds to meet the urgent needs of Alaska in fiscal year 1970-71 and still leave us in a favorable financial position for the years to come. The operating budget for the program I detailed to you yesterday calls for a general fund expenditure of $214,924,600 as compared to $149,110,600 for the current year. Traditionally, we have kept general fund capital expenditures to approximately $2 million or less. This year, I am proposing a direct general fund capital expenditure of $24,006,100. This dramatic increase is proposed because of a need to push as many critical capital improvement projects as possible into this construction season to get ahead of the immense private construction that will be taking place in the next few years in an effort to head off the inflationary effects that could accompany our rapid progress. A key part of my fiscal policy is the flexible use of bonding. I am convinced that it would be unsound to spend large amounts of our principal as long as it earns for us more than the cost of the bonds. This feature of maintaining financial flexibility while continuing earnings was recommended by Stanford Research Institute in the light of today's market conditions. I will ask that you place before the voters next November a series of bond proposals totaling $137 million covering a variety of projects. Keep in mind that approval by the voters merely authorizes the sale of bonds for the purposes specified. If dramatic changes take place that substantially increase our revenues beyond reasonable needs, such longer-term financing would become unnecessary. I propose that a permanent fund be established by constitutional amendment to provide for $500 million of the bonus money to be used as a revenue-producing fund in perpetuity for future generations of Alaskans. I will propose interim legislation to establish the permanent fund and set forth a modern investment policy designed to allow our money to grow while providing us with the necessary revenues. The remainder of the $900 million balance projected as of June 30th, 1971, will be managed in two general investment categories. It is my intention to make our deposits of up to $100 million in state monies in Alaska banks more productive in the financing of homes and businesses for Alaskans. Toward this end, I will introduce legislation that will broaden the range of acceptable collateral to secure state deposits, as well as reduce the collateral requirement to 75% of the deposit. The second category will result from my proposal to amend the general fund investment statute to permit $300 million in additional surplus general fund cash to be invested in higher yield securities to improve investment returns without sacrificing safety. This budget and the program it funds is wide in its scope, and to review each of the programs I have previously mentioned would keep you and me here long past lunchtime. With that in mind, let me touch on some of the major items in the operating budget. $1.5 million has been proposed to fund the creation of the Department of Treasury, which will be responsible for the management and custody of state funds. A total of $67 million is budgeted for the Department of Education, for an increase of over $22 million over the current year. More than half of the increase will be returned to support local school districts. For the University of Alaska, we have proposed $16 million, reflecting an increase of over $4 million over this year's budget. In the Department of Health and Welfare, the proposal is $33,388,100, for an increase of $10,572,000, of which nearly $5 million is in public welfare. Over $1.5 million has been proposed for the Department of Labor, representing an increase of $584,000, primarily in industrial safety and manpower training. In the Department of Public Safety, my proposal calls for an expenditure of over $6.5 million, which is an increase of nearly $3 million. Nearly all of the increase is for the Division of State Troopers and Fire Prevention. Over $4.5 million has been budgeted for natural resources, an increase of $1.6 million, which is attributed to mineral resource development, management of state lands, and agriculture. In fish and game, the proposal of over $6 million provides an increase of more than $1.5 million, with emphasis on protection and commercial fisheries management and research. A proposed expenditure of $18 million in public works is up $3 million, with the largest percentage increase reflected in airport operation and maintenance, as well as in the communications division. The Department of Highways is scheduled for expenditures of $18 million, an increase of nearly $6 million over the current year. Nearly all of the increase is in an expanded maintenance program. The $24 million general fund capital budget proposal is broken down in the following broad general categories. In education, we have expenditures totaling over $6 million. The major items include $2 million for the hot lunch program, just over $1 million for an addition to the Sitka Regional High School, and nearly $3 million for rural school construction. For the University of Alaska, we have proposed $585,000 to be used primarily for community college projects in Juneau and Anchorage. In health and welfare, an expenditure of $834,200 will finance a health and welfare center for Kodiak, a child care center in the Matanuska-Susitna area, improvements to the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, Harborview Memorial Hospital in Valdez, and the Southeastern Regional Correctional Facility. In the Department of Military Affairs, we have slated an expenditure of $306,000 for an armory and civil air patrol hangar projects, as well as a water utility line in Nome. In the Department of Natural Resources, we plan $140,000 for drinking water supplies at 15 wayside locations and expansion of the Chilkoot Lake wayside. A total of $738,000 has been proposed to the Department of Fish and Game, primarily for a 90 to 100-foot steel vessel for use in research as well as management and protection. Also included are modifications to the Fire Lake Hatchery, Fraser Fish Ladder, floating warehouses, and a dam at Eak Lake. Over $6.5 million is proposed for public works, with almost $2.5 million to be used for trunk and secondary airport projects at Bethel, Cold Bay, Volcana, and Kodiak. Engineering studies will be done at McGrath and Sitka. Nearly $2 million is planned for airports at Chignik Lake, Scannon Bay, Chevac, and Cape. $100,000 will be used to build airport maintenance buildings at Galena, Volcana, North Wave, and Summit. Almost $2.5 million will be used to purchase new airport maintenance equipment. Almost $1.5 million has been programmed for state building projects. They include general improvements to a number of state-owned buildings and land acquisition. $485,000 will fund improvements at the Sitka Pioneers Home. Expenditures of $419,500 have been proposed for the Marine Highway System. It includes vessel modification and a Homer dock extension. Over $1.5 million has been scheduled for rudders and harbors projects at Homer, Kodiak, Unalaska, Nome, Anchorage, Old Harbor, Hooper Bay, Soldotna, Petersburg, Seldovia, Dillingham, Ketchikan, Seward, Nemilchik, and Cordova. Almost $5 million is proposed for the Department of Highways to be used for construction of a maintenance shop at Chipnock, a Kinnick Arm Crossing feasibility study, and replacement of obsolete equipment. The bond issues I propose to fund capital improvements include in the aggregate approximately $26 million for health, housing, and public safety facilities, $46 million for educational purposes, and $64 million in transportation systems. Finally, to complete the funding in certain of the current year programs, we are submitting supplemental appropriation requests totaling over $9 million. Major items include $2 million for district school support, $1 million for full funding of the new municipal revenue sharing program, $1 million for unforeseen welfare costs, and over $2 million to pay the Bureau of Land Management for 1968 fire suppression costs, and $675,000 for design and engineering for a state office building in Jimmo, expansion of the Anchorage Court Building, and the highway complex in Anchorage. After the supplemental appropriations are added into this year's current budget, we will have an available fund balance on July 1st of this year of $903,646,600. And we will have unrestricted general fund receipts of $239,020,500 for a total of $1,142,667,100. With the addition of $3,298,500 in revenues that will be returned to local governments as their share of taxes and other revenues, the budget you will receive today calls for total appropriations of $242,229,200. And that will leave our estimated fund balance on July 1st of 1971 at $900,437,900. This budget is a vital part of my program to establish a firm foundation on which to build the future of our great land. I am proud of the program, and I pledge my cooperation in working with you to see it enacted for the benefit of our people. Ours is the responsibility to assure the generations who follow that Alaska will be as great in fulfillment for them as she has been in promise for us. Let us begin. Thank you very much.
The Honorable Governor of the State of Alaska has completed his budget address to the joint session of the Sixth Alaska Legislature. He shakes hands with House Speaker Kukula and Senator President Phillips, and is escorted back down the aisle by Senator Phillips and Representative Fortner.
We will be pausing in just a moment for the business of the adjournment takes place.
And we adjourn with KFIV Radio, with CBS for your friends in Alaska. The time now is 24 minutes past 9. We've been listening to Governor Newman's budget message to the state of Alaska from Joe.